We did talk a little bit about, we did talk a little bit about day four, right? We talked a little bit about day four. In verse 14 says, then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. That God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. And so God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. Now, we talked about that. I don't know anything else I really want to say except that we'd had light since the first day of creation. And then God created the expanse and the stars and all of the things in the heavens, and God made the sun to rule the day and the moon tonight. But we had day and night, we had evenings and morning before we ever had sun and the moon. But with God, that's not a difficulty either. Today I want to start with the fifth day of creation, okay? Day five of creation. Really an interesting thing. Then God said, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens. I'm going to read down through the creation of man, and then we'll come back. God created the great sea monster and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. There was evening and there was morning, a fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle, creeping things, beasts of the earth after their kind. And it was so. God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the sky and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food, and it was so. God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. There was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed and all their host. By the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. All right. After 6 days of creation, the Bible said God rested on the seventh day. Does that mean God got tired? Well, if he didn't get tired, what does it mean that he rested? He rested from creating. Well, you can take a break without being tired. That's right. Hey, folks, it certainly does not have anything to do with God being tired. Amen. But after God finished his work, I mean, he finished it. He said, it's done. It's good. I'm happy with it. It's just exactly what I wanted. And God rested, and it just means that God's work was complete, it was finished, and it was done, and God was happy. Amen. And so Don't let someone try to read that into it. Well, God got tired, you know. God doesn't get tired. Amen. And but I do. I really do sometimes. All right, well, that was the first easy question. I told you I was going to have nothing but easy questions tonight. And so I'm proving myself correctly. The fifth day of creation begins in verse 20. God said, "Let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heaven." God said, "Let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures." So what took place? All right. All of a sudden, God filled all of the waters. He had divided the waters from the waters, right? Remember that? And then he had divided the land from the waters. And so now all the land is in rivers and seas, right? But all of the creative power of God and all of the waters that had been separated, water from water, and then the water from the land, and with all the seas and all of the lakes and with all of the streams that God created, do you realize that there was nothing in them? Are y'all with me? There was nothing in them. You could dive off in them and drink all you wanted without getting anything in your mouth. And then God said, "Let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures." Let the waters teem with living creatures. What does that mean? Huh? Abundance? All right, so let's just take a slice out of God's creative water, okay? Can y'all do this? All right, we're gonna take all of the creative creatures that God put in the water. Now, we're just going to get a slice out of it, okay? I mean, it's like we're going to build a glass wall and a glass wall and a glass wall and a glass wall inside the creative water that God has created. And something that is, so now we've got an aquarium the size of this building, okay, David? We got one the size of this building, all right? That is a fair sample of the rest of creation. Can y'all do that? Can you imagine that? All right, so imagining that out of all of the water that God has created and God says, let it teem with living creatures. So now inside this building, this aquarium, the size of this room, how many creatures are in there? Now, wait a minute, we're talking about, you know, we're talking about from here to here and here to here. I mean, you got to be able to swim around, right? According to how many whales you got in there, right? So if you got five whales in there, you're not going to have very many. Now, be careful, David. Don't you ruin my stuff here. The big ones are eating the little ones, okay? Let's just say we don't have any real big ones in this room. Let's say, you know, a barracuda is the biggest thing in there, okay? You know? Or we don't have any sharks. We just have, you know, something about this long. So about how many do you think we have in here? All right, Tom. You're getting smart on me over there. All right. You listen. Now, I was reading a commentary, John Phillips, really good commentary on the book of Genesis. And I was reading that, And this is something I normally don't do. You look down at the bottom of the page and there's a footnote down there. It says number 11. And so I read number 11 footnote, and this is what he says. A half a billion infusoria can live comfortably in a single drop of water. Now, Brother Kenny, help me out. Yes, you can. Now, I don't want them to know how ignorant I am. But if I were to ask you, how many million is in a half a billion? You would tell me something like 500 million, right? So, now, in a drop of water, you know, now, honestly, you know, a drop of water could be, you know, real tiny drop, or, you know, a little bit bigger drop. But, you know, in an average drop of water, you can have 500 million infusoria in a single drop of water. Flora? You don't know what an infusoria is? Oh, Flora, that's an everyday word. We use it every other day. I mean, you know, right? Of infusoria? You can't make a fish sandwich out of infusoria. All right, so if infusoria is not a fish, then what is it? Well, yeah. And a real small cell at that, okay? All right, here it is. A half a billion infusoria, which is, the definition is a collective term for minute aquatic creatures like ciliates, eoglanoids, protozoa, unicellular algae, small invertebrates that exist in freshwater ponds. That's what an infusoria is, okay? I wanted you to learn that because you might, well, of course, Bill Riley's not on TV anymore, so there's no more words, you know. There's no new word. So anyhow, preacher, this is preacher's new word. Now you know that is a collective term for all the microscopic organisms in a single drop of water, okay? All right, now here's something really interesting, though, about that. In this footnote, a half a billion of these creatures that God created. Now understand, there was nothing in the water. There's nothing in the water. And by the creative word of God, suddenly there's a half a billion of these in every drop of water. I mean, I'm thinking like, wow, God's kind of amazing, right? That's right, but they were. all right, but just let me just read the rest of this little footnote. There are thousands of species of these infusoria. Some are herbivores, some are carnivores, some have shells, some none. Some possess mouths, teeth, muscles, nerves, glands. Some of these things, so small that a half a billion of them can get in a single drop of water, have as many as 200 stomachs. You can get a half a billion of them in a single. How could something that small hurt you? I don't know how. It doesn't make sense, but it happens, right? All right. Yeah, you drink some bad water and you can get bad sick. I know personally. I've been to Mexico. The thickness of the membranes that line the stomachs have been estimated to be 1/50 millionth part of an inch. Now, folks, what I'm saying is, when God said, let the waters get full of stuff, no one knew until a few hundred years ago. No one even had a clue of what God meant when he said, that the waters teem with living creatures. Because when God said, let the waters teem with living creatures, suddenly, not before then, listen to me, every single thing that exists was created by God in the week of creation. God created on the fifth day of creation. Billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of macroorganisms. And they started just doing their thing. And God had a purpose for these, right? One, later on after Adam sinned, to make people sick. Okay? What other purpose could God have had for creating so many things so tiny? Do what? Big and teeny. Because there are some babies when they're first out of, when the eggs first hatch, that they are so little, they couldn't eat anything except microscopic organisms. Listen, folks, when God created, our God is so wise and so amazing and so, like, you know, when Job began to wonder, God, do you really know what you're doing? And God said to Job, Job, if you only knew, where were you when I created these billions of microscopic organisms so these little tiny fry couldn't survive without them? Job, I know what I'm doing. Listen to me, a lot of times in your life and in my life, we can't see how God could know what he's doing because the way God's doing it doesn't seem to make sense to you and I. I'm telling you, folks, what doesn't make sense to you and I, God has a plan. Amen? And so, and you've learned that really, really well over the years, haven't you, David? Yeah. Yeah, and we all have or will. You know, God has to teach us sometimes through some hard knocks. But God is so able, folks. That's why the study of Genesis is so neat, because it continually tells me and you that God, he knows where he's going. He knows how to get there. I mean, folks, listen, in the week of creation, however that is, and I believe, I still favor, you know, seven consecutive 24-hour periods of time. But you know, again, I'm not going to be critical of someone else that may not say that. I believe, anyhow, let's just get away from that because I don't want to spend any time there tonight. That God is so very, very, very able. And you and I discover that if God can plan for the little fry of the little... You know when God created the fish? Do you remember what God said to them? What did God tell them to do? Be fruitful and multiply. That means have little ones, right? All right, be fruitful and multiply, have little ones. So God knew in creation that this little old fish that was about this long in the middle of the ocean, and... you know, it's got orange, yellow, and green, and purple, and blue stripes, you know, and it kind of flashes, and God created that little thing. It's not that long, you know, and women pay $4.50 to put them in the house to watch them die. But anyhow, men buy minnows to put on a fish hook. Women buy them to put in the house to watch them die. But anyhow, or try to keep them alive. But Kenny, am I in trouble? You're like you're praying for me. Miss Flora says, you're right. He's digging the hole, and I'm going to help cover him up. All right. Well, anyhow, I've already dug it, so let's get out. And these things are going to create, and their little babies are so tiny that God had to create something tinier for them to eat. And so God has taken everything into consideration, folks. And David, 400 years from now, people are still going to be figuring out if we're not already in heaven, and I think we're going to be. I don't think the world has that much longer. In fact, I'd be shocked if the world has 50 more years, you know. In fact, it sometimes surprises me that God doesn't destroy this world and start to, you know, create the new heavens and new earth, you know, like next week or 7 years from now after the tribulation. But listen to me, folks. If God does tarry 400 years from now, you and I are not going to be here to find out. But I mean, I think we're going to be looking down from heaven's glory and seeing these people down here get shocked by how amazing God is. And when we get to heaven, folks, we're going to see how amazing God is. Sunday morning, I am preaching a sermon that could be difficult for some people, but it is the most hope-filled, amazing, beautiful truth in the Word of God. I'm preaching on the death of Lazarus and his resurrection. And to me, it is the most hope-filled, encouraging thing in the Word of God. Now, I'm going to give you a little hint. When they sent word to Jesus, Lord, come quickly. Lazarus is real, real, real sick. Didn't he? And Jesus waited 4 days before he even went, right? Or when he got there, he'd been dead 4 days. And Jesus said that Lazarus' death was for the glory of God, or his illness was for the glory of God. He was sick in order to bring glory to God. And it says something else that's going to just throw you until you understand the truth. Jesus said, or the Bible says, this he did because he loved him. Mary and Martha says, Jesus, the guy, you know, your friend Lazarus that you love, this guy you love is sick, real sick, he's going to die. And Jesus says, because he loved him, he didn't go. So, I have a challenge, right, for Sunday. Folks, I'm telling you, Sunday's sermon is amazingly powerful. I thank God for the truth that's in that story about Lazarus' death and the glory of God, and that Jesus loved Lazarus. And because he loved him, he didn't go. Because he loved him, he waited for him to die. But folks, you and I continue to see, the more we look at the Word of God, the more we study the Word of God, the longer we live, we should see more and more and more that our God is able. Our God is able to take care of anything and everything for our good. And God's had it planned from the beginning of time, just like God planned for those little fry to have something to eat before they were ever created. God has plans for us. And God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good. All the fish after their kind, all the birds after their kind, later on all the animals after their kind. What was God doing by causing everything to create or recreate or procreate? Is that the correct word, procreate? That's the correct word. Everything from the animals to the fish to the birds, everything was created by God to procreate, to be fruitful and multiply within the boundaries that God set. Within the boundaries that God set. Why did God set boundaries? All right. Now, Tom, you're going to have to help me on this. God told that carp that when it procreated, it was going to have baby carp, not alligators. Now, God did that so that you wouldn't mess that up. That didn't work, did it? It was in perfect harmony. None. Now, you're right about all that. But I've not got an answer to why did God create everything to procreate, to stay within its kind. Because God was pleased with his creation, and the way he created it is the way he wanted it to end up, right? I mean, it all boils down to this, sovereignty, folks. God says, I'm in charge. I'm in charge. I decide. I control. Nothing happens in my creation outside of my ability to control. I'm God. I set the limits. I set the boundaries. When he created the oceans and the seas, what did he say to them? You can come this far and no further. Right? Limitations. That's right. Now, can Al Gore's global warming flood the rest of the world? The warmer it gets, the more it's going to evaporate. I'm not going to say there's not going to be some cities that's going to get water in it. I'm not going to say that. I don't know. I'm going to tell you this. God sets the boundaries. Water can come this far and no further. God decides. Amen? God decides. Even Satan has to get permission from God before he can do any evil. That kind of blows you away, right? He's got his limitations. Y'all doing pretty good. I can't remember. I think I had another question. Well, I did. I don't know if I'm going to get to it tonight. I pretty much know I'm not. We get down to God creates the beasts of the earth after their kind, the cattle after their kind, every living creeps on the ground after its kind. God saw it was good. But God created the vegetation, then God created animals. And what did God tell them they could do? God told all the animals, y'all can eat it. I mean, there's enough vegetation here for all of you to eat. Right? And then God told the men, let's make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them rule over all of this, rule over the cattle. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God made him male and female. God told them to be fruitful and multiply and to subdue it. And then God said in verse 29, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be for food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth, which has life, I've given every green plant for food. So, prior to the flood, all the animals ate what? Vegetation. Prior to the flood, did men eat meat? He ate turnip greens, soybeans. He ate vegetation, right? I think that's right. And fruit, right? He ate things that grows on trees, and he ate things that was growing in the ground. And I'm not so sure, but I don't think there was anything that he couldn't eat, right? Except what? So he could eat turnip greens and asparagus and cauliflower and dandelions, everything. All right, Genesis chapter 9, I think, you know, after the flood, the Lord says, hey, guys, you can eat anything out there. And then under the law of Moses. Why? God's first permission, they could eat whatever, right? Every living creature they could eat. Now, some things were not as good as others. Probably a porcupine wasn't very comfortable eating. But why did God all of a sudden put restrictions on what the children of Israel could eat? Why did God do that? Guidelines for obedience? In what way? I was waiting for that answer. I really don't think it was dietary at all. I think God's restrictions were to show the separation of the people of God from the world. You're my people. I want you to show the world you're separate from them. The law is, Moses is going to give the law in Exodus chapter 20. Is that right? I think that's right. All right, folks. I don't have any more infusoria for you tonight.